Okay, Brian, if I can have my first slide up. So, one of the seminars I went to was called Talking About the 90%. And I have to admit that, yes, it had to do with money, but the first reason I went to it was because Burl Jancy was the presenter, and I know him from back when I was a camper at Beaver Camp and growing up in western New York. So I want to read the description of the seminar. When we talk about money in church, it's usually about giving, but that's not the whole story. More attention needs to focus on the other 90%. There are 2,300 scriptures addressing money and possessions, while 40% of Americans spend more than they earn. This is the average American, not average Christian American, just average American. 78% of people live paycheck to paycheck. 7 out of 10 couples do not budget consistently. And approximately 66% of Americans would struggle to pay for a $1,000 emergency. So Burl talked about stewardship is a way, not just the 10% that we're supposed to, that they talk about tithing to church. Stewardship is about organizing our lives in such a way to have margins of peace so that we are at peace with all of the resources God has entrusted to us, not just the 10%. And he mentioned a book called Three Simple Rules written by Theo Bors, and they really are simple. Spend less than you earn, save now and buy later, and know your debt. He didn't say you can't have any debt, but you just need to be aware of it. Okay, next slide, Brian. And then, now this was a study of Christians, the 5 attitudes about money. First one is just surviving. Basically, they are trapped, 6%. Struggling, doing a little better, but they're still strapped, 11%. Then the third one is stable. They're doing okay, 32%. Fourth one, they feel secure, confident in how they're dealing with their money, 38%. And then the fifth one was surplus. They are grateful, only 13%. So if you look at that, less than 50% of Christians in this study felt really comfortable with where they were and how they were able to use their money. And one of the basic tools he talked about is to be intentional and to have a balanced approach. A lot of people don't have a specific budget, but even something like 10-10-80. Give 10, save 10, spend 80. Or if you can't do that, give 5, save 5, spend 90. Or if that's not possible, give 2, save 2, spend 96. Just that we need to, in our churches, we should probably talk about all of the resources that God has entrusted to us, not just the 10 that we are always talking about tithing to the church.
Well, I'm always glad that she goes to the money ones, because I'd be lost, right? but she does help a lot of organizations. And with that in her brain, she's thinking about the security of each one of those, including our church and Beaver Camp. So that's good. Now me, I jumped into all different kinds of things. When I first saw this on the list, Stop Being Christianish, Fighting the MTD God Through the Biblical Narrative, I went, oh, I got to do this. I didn't even know what MTD was. And then it was Michelle Hershberger, for those of you who have been at conference before. She, whatever she does, she's always right on. She gets it done. And you can see she's a professor of Bible at Heston College. What she was speaking about was through this book called Soul Searching, which is essentially a research project. So the meat is at the last chapter when they talk about what they found. In the inside of it, it's all these different examples that they did. And So I had purchased it back when I was at Beaver Camp because I wanted to know what's going on. And now it's like, ooh. So I learned a lot. Anyway, there was another session that I went to as well. I don't know if any of you are connected with social agencies within the county, but this person talked about something, Adolescent. Reimagining adolescence, because it has changed big time. And so I would love to see, I emailed him, he said he would come and do presentations. That'd be something our church, probably through Everence, probably with other organizations, team up and have him come and teach some classes. As a parent alone, I was watching this and I was amazed. So I'm thinking about that, trying to get some of that process. All right. Anyway, here's what she shared. The issue, the problem. Next slide. Yeah. Soul searching, and that's the research project that I'm sharing from. First, young people's faith is not durable enough to survive very long after high school. Do you see that? Most teens can hardly coherently articulate their own beliefs. I'll tell you that in the 70s, we articulated. You know why? Vietnam War. Subscription. We knew what we believed because we weren't going to go there, right? We were going to do service, but we knew what we believed. How is that different today? Well, there's a number of things that she says. Next, and we are responsible because parents are most important in forming their children's religious and spiritual lives. Ooh. Next, and this is about the church, as many religious congregations and communities of faith in the U.S. are failing rather badly in religiously engaging and educating the youth. Okay? Think about this, for instance. I'm a teacher. You know how many hours students spend learning an AP anything? We don't spend even close to that amount on anything church, do we? No, we'll even sacrifice church for AP. Will we not? Okay. How do we continue? Next slide. Christian-ish. This is what Christian-ish is. Just enough Christian. We got our ticket to heaven. We are baptized and now able to be married and buried. Now, I'm not saying that's necessarily about any of us. It could be about some of us. But in general, across the board in America, this is what it is. Okay, next. We worship. We go to church. If not too inconvenient with the rest of our schedule, and tithe the best we can. Okay, next. We do our part, but not go overboard. Next. Send our contributions to missions and do good work in the world. Schedule a mission trip now and again to remind ourselves of how good we have it and help others. And I'm not necessarily saying that about us. I think it's different here. But it's a general thing that's happening, you know? Large church, youth group, oh, let's go on a mission trip for a week. Boom. Oh, we did it. Really? Maybe it was good, but this is what moralistic therapeutic deism is. Next slide. They have defined it now. Moralistic, a God that wants us to be nice and do good. Well, yeah, sort of. Therapeutic, a God that exists to make us feel good and happy. Okay, and deism is a God that stays in the background until we need help. She said, the God of wallpaper. I love that. I just love that. Yeah, when I need you, I'll call you off the wall. So what's the antithesis of that? It's the biblical narrative. That's why we have the book. All right? Apostle Paul in jail. He didn't do bad things. He just did something that the government and religious leaders didn't want. That's why he was in jail. The life of Jesus and how he railed against religious leaders all the time. And they wanted to kill him. Okay? He was doing good, but not necessarily what everybody else believed was good. Story of Job. For therapeutic. I mean, Job was a good guy. And everything was wiped out. And then God brought it back to him, but it was different than it was before. David, a lot of David's life, same thing. How many, you think about the negative things that happened to him. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. That wouldn't be too much fun all your life. Peter and Paul, both situations thrown in jail. different kinds of things happen to them. Israel in Egypt, for deism, is that God stays in the background. Well, in Israel, God is in the forefront. During the plagues, you don't think they knew what was going on? In the wilderness, when that cloud's going ahead of you, parting waters and doing whatever, God is there. So that biblical story is telling us. But we should have our own. Don't you have your own stories about how God shows up and you are totally amazed at how did that happen? All right? So what has come with this MTD is a consumer-driven therapeutic individualism. I get what I need, I get what I want, and that's all I need. And that's good. Thank you, God. We've shacked up with the American dream. Okay? So when that all comes collapsing down, it's very easy for us to say, why did God cause cancer to my best friend? A real good God wouldn't do that. What? Why do we say that? And then we walk away from the faith? Okay, so how do we build a better vision of that? And if I do good, everything's going to come out okay. It doesn't happen that way. Okay, so they're basically saying, you take 2005, you're talking about probably millennials. Gen X is already, we're seeing some different things, but it's somewhat similar, I think. And I'm not saying this is what the young people are all about. No. I'm just saying some of us are just thinking way back when we should be thinking ahead. Okay. They need a faith language. They need to connect salvation to the church where it belongs by creating a common faith language. You'll see one of the great points that I'll make at the very end. God is accessible and complex, a paradox like any relationship. Our relationship is a paradox. You have someone who's very organized and good with money, someone who's organized but not the same way and and not good with money, okay? But I'm conceptual. She's very detailed. I get detailed after a lot of work. But do you understand? There's a huge paradox between the two of us in our relationship. Why would that not be the same with God? I don't understand him. Do you? But yet, I love the fact that he shows up when I least expect it, and all those things that happen change my thinking. Next, tell the whole story. The Bible is full of crap. That's what she said. The Bible is full of crap that we like to pretend does not exist. Okay? How about this? And I named a bunch of them. Lot and his daughters. Well, some of you know that story. Some of you need to look it up. David and his daughter Tamar and the bitterness of her brother Absalom against Amnon. To the point where he kicked David out of the kingdom. Okay, if you don't know that story, go read it. Hosea, how he had to live his life. All right, so they're not little neat little stories. We avoid them because they're talking about the nasty that we don't really want to talk about. So there it is. Youth are dying for authenticity. They want it what's real. That's why they don't like the institution, because it's so bogged down sometimes it doesn't get anywhere. All right, next. Redefine mission. We are chosen for the most important mission in the world, where we are. Not some other place. Right here, right now. Okay? So the next, I think there's a, theology matters. Next. Real hope. God will make it all right, just not necessarily the way we envision it. I mean, God, he'll do it the way he wants to. We're not going to make it happen, all right? Sometimes we try to make too much. Real discipleship, your action makes a difference. God's kingdom is worth suffering and dying for. Doing those risky things that, you think about, but I would never do that because I'd have to do this and then that would really mess up my life. You do good because you are transformed. It is the only authentic reason for doing any good. Okay? I do good because I've been transformed by Christ. And that is why I do it all. Next. Real community. We Oh, this was a tough one. I had to sit and listen and read it a couple of times. We means you have influence with me and vice versa, regardless of our position, our gender, our age, or our race. Okay, I'm going to give you a sample. And I hope this person is not embarrassed because I'm not going to mention name. But anyway, I was told by a younger person when we were back raising funds for this that Cinco de Mayo was actually a celebration of a bloody, bloody battle. So to have a dinner based around Cinco de Mayo is kind of the antithesis of the Mennonite church. So why do that? I'm sitting there going, first of all, I felt embarrassed because I really should know this. Right? I really should know this. I'm a teacher. And so, okay, we don't have to do that. We're just going to have a Hispanic meal. That's how we're going to raise our funds. We don't need Cinco de Mayo anywhere. All right? So I learned from somebody younger than me. Do we do that? Is that the thing about age? Okay? Regardless of our position, gender, age, or race. Okay? We can learn something from each other, and we got to be open to that. Just because I'm 67 doesn't mean I have all the answers. As a matter of fact, I'm learning I don't know much. A lot of not much, okay? And my whole thinking on how God is transforming this world is really blowing my brains out. It's crazy. They said in Acts 15:28, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. And then they came down with some essential rulings that they made the decision together. So I wondered, what if that's the way God is moving? He wants us to do it together instead of top down. Oops. Got work to do. All right. Next, here's the fact that I wanted to point out. And this is for young people. This is for everybody. The one thing she pointed out, was, do you realize that no other religion has a God seeking such a deep connection to humanity that this God became human? Actually, became human so God could experience that with us. Wow. No other religion. So, we have to be careful how we form words to start using them and reusing them and burying them like Christianity. Okay? As an institution, young people are just fed up. They're fed up. They're not going to show up. All right, so how do we do it? Okay, next slide. Assessing LMC and ourselves. I can't do this. We have to do this together. I'm not sure where we're at. I do say what is good. What is good is right here. These things are phenomenal. What they do in the community are phenomenal. And do you realize it's just a piece of cloth that somebody holds over? How many of you have been privileged to get one of these? And there's an emotional connection to this for me. These are wonderful. It's a good thing that we do. Okay. The tools up here are MDS. I mean, we go and we build, we fix, we do whatever. We do a lot of doing, but we, as we heard from, was it Megan Good, that doing isn't everything. All right? But we do those kinds of things. The other one that I've got to mention is Beaver Camp. It is the one singular profound entity in Lewis County and Jefferson County and the North Country where we contact so many kids, and obviously you're aware of how much we support that place and the things that we do in Maple Ridge. We can't do everything, but when we do those good things, we are doing wonderful things. I'll tell you this from the experience of my heart. First weekend I worked there, and I had this kid crying in my arms because he loved Beaver Camp so much he didn't want to go home. That didn't just affect the child, it affected me. And so it makes me want to be Christian because that is exactly, I want to be like Christ, that's what he would be like. So, yeah, We do those wonderful things. We can't do everything, but we do want to find out those things that we can be very decent at. Sometimes we're probably terribly bad at. But, okay, what is good? The next one is what needs work. We figure that out together. Okay? I would not say one way or the other. I don't see us as necessarily falling into the trap that many others fall into, but we can be better at what we do, as we know. All right, so, yeah, I think that's all that we have for this morning, which is good because it's 10 out, all right? But anyway, and it was about this warm when we were in Kansas City, but they have tons of air conditioning where we tend to just turn a couple on, all right? All right, thank you very much. We had a great time. I believe that this group got a lot of meaning out of it, as I have with the last three groups, four groups that we've taken. But we will be done, so some of you, younger parents, whatever, you get to go next time.
Thank you, Marvin. Thank you, youth. Appreciate your sharing this morning. My favorite part of the morning was coming in here and watching all of them talking and yakking to each other and joking. They weren't doing that on the way out to Kansas City, but they did that after they got back, and that's really nice. Please stand for the benediction. This is a little longer benediction, but it was read at the conclusion of the convention, and we'll read it this morning. Peace be with you, sons and daughters of God, for whom creation groans, we are made manifest. May we again and again experience that power that resurrected Jesus from the dead. I declare grace and peace multiplied to you all from ravaged lands or bounty-filled pantries on this terrestrial globe. Let his shalom that surpasses all understanding by the power of the Holy Spirit overwhelm us past all isms. I declare the excellence of the very peace proclaimed by the angels on that night divine to propel us to radical love with benevolent abandon, setting our hearts on fire for neighbor as self, the stranger, the poor, widowed, orphan, the hungry, the thirsty, the broken, imprisoned in creation, turning gun to plowshare and pipelines to solar panels. Tonight, or this morning as it may be, let our hearts burn with zeal as our faith with works causes his kingdom to prevail in this generation and beyond. Go on now, go in God's peace, go and change the world with him and through him, go and leave no one behind from A to Z, America to Zimbabwe, the bride and spirit cry, come Lord Jesus, the tables are turned over, peace be with you, amen. Go in peace, and thank you for making this trip possible for our youth.